This is the Well, Well, Well podcast with Cassandra and Britt, episode 81, You've Been Betrayed, Now What? With Jessica Frew. Well, 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 welcome to season 2 of the podcast. We can't think of anything better than conversations with our friends about all the wellness.
Let's chat about what the gurus are saying and enjoy a bev while we're at it.
We aren't experts, but we are your friends, and we are here with you.
We are so glad you joined us.
We're so glad that you wanted to talk again.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always fun. I almost feel like it's like super selfish because I get to see the people that I hear in my ears all the time. I get to have an actual conversation with people and it makes me so happy.
Same.
Yes.
It's fun.
Yeah. So nice when it works out like that. Love it. I already started rolling recording because I feel like sometimes in the chit chat when we first say hi, we miss all the good stuff, you know?
Yeah.
So I just thought, like, let's just start recording.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, and we have so many questions for you, but then I'm like, I bet the people want to hear the answers to these questions too.
They have the same ones.
They have the same questions. So before we launch in, if you have not heard of Jessica Frew, you are going to want to follow her. She's amazing. And you can find her under her new handle, which this threw us for a minute. So we're going to have to talk about this. She got a new handle. It's Hey Jessica Frew. Is that right?
That is correct. Yes.
Okay. And formerly husband-in-law.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. I'm looking at what episode she was on with us so I can tell everybody.
Oh, yes. That's a good idea.
Because we've had her on. You have to listen to
Yes,
it.
We've had her on before.
Such a good
and
one.
In our previous episode, she gives us a lot of background on like her whole story and how this whole her platform came to be, really. And really, she just has such a remarkable story that has propelled all these amazing things. Like the things that you're doing right now, like Cassandra and I were talking about it this morning, and we were just saying, like, this is such important work. This is just like
very, really
important work. And we're so grateful for you for doing it and happy to have somebody who has had a lived experience and then is willing to go forward and like help other people through theirs. Do you want to summarize your story for us?
Yeah, I can do
the Cliff Notes version.
Yes, thank you.
So I met my first husband in college and we were married for 7 years. He came out to me as gay 2 years into our marriage. We stayed married for another 5 years, obviously, in a mixed orientation marriage. We had a daughter 5 years into our marriage. So she was 2 when we got divorced. He ultimately ended up having an affair and we tried to work things out through the affair. It was a mess, like a complete mess. And so we ended up getting divorced. And I have now been remarried for 9.5 years, which just seems crazy to me that it's been that long. And have gone through all of the ups and downs of remarriage and step-parenting and co-parenting and all of the crazy things. And I know now why people say like second marriage is so much harder, or like why I see the statistics of second marriages and, you know, they have a higher divorce rate even than first marriages. And I get it. I'm like, this is hard. It is hard stuff. So in this, I've done a lot of work with women who have had a partner come out. That is now what I do. And now I also work with women who have gone through betrayal because I keep getting messages from women and they're like, I feel all these same things that you're talking about after having a partner come out, but my partner's not come out. Like, that's not our lived experience. And I'm like, okay, well, let's create a space for you because there are so many similar different feelings of those things that happen. So that is like the short version of me and where I'm at. The handle, you guys asked me about my handle on Instagram. So I used to share this space with my husband and ex-husband. It was the three of us on there. But like, we've been in this space, the podcast is it's 3.5 years old now, almost 4 years. And so we were in the podcast and on Instagram together, but on Instagram, they just never showed up, which is totally fine. They have other things going on and whatever. And so then I was like, I am claiming this as my own. I am here to help and support these women. That's who we like. I have made it a point to help from the podcast. And so we are here to do that. We still have the podcast. It is still called Husband in Law. Matt and Steve, my husband, ex-husband, are both still there. So you can find all three of us there. Matt actually had a really hard time when I switched the handle. He's like, but I'm like cut out now. And I'm like, no, you're not. You can show up on my Instagram anytime you want. So yeah,
we love that. And I mean, it is like such a catchy handle. Cause I remember when we first saw you, we're like husband in law. What? This doesn't make sense. Instantly have to click on it. Instantly have to listen and figure out what this story is. And you guys heard it right. She really has a podcast where it was the three of them co-hosting together in such a beautiful way and an honest way. And man, have we learned a lot from you guys. So we are so grateful for that. And we are so grateful that you are like, I'm going to own this space and I'm going to take it and I'm going to move it in the direction that it needs to be moved.
Yeah. Perfect. We love it so much. Okay. So before we get any further about what we're going to talk about today, tell us what you're drinking.
I was thinking all morning. I'm like, what am I going to drink? So I actually have
your cup is adorable.
Bring that back into view.
I'm getting a picture.
Yeah. Hang on. We got to get
my daughter and stepdaughter are like, everything needs to be aesthetic.
Yes.
So I partially got these because of them, because I wanted one. And then I got like, my daughter got one with like flowers on it and stuff for Christmas, but I love these cups. They're glass. They're super cute. And I actually have a super upset stomach today. I don't know what's going on. I think it's something I ate last night. And so I'm drinking ginger beer. I decided this was like something that might help settle it. And it's like it's Rachel's ginger beer. It's a lady in Seattle. I saw it on Macklemore's wife's Instagram. My husband's obsessed with Macklemore. Yeah. So this was part of his Christmas present and now I'm finishing it off, but it's very yummy. So yeah, fun stuff.
I'm a big ginger beer. We're both ginger fans.
Yeah.
And ginger beer, especially like it's a great base for a mocktail. So I am ginger beer. Yes.
And this you will also love because it's like all good, natural, real ingredients. Like there's not fake crap in here. So I thought of you guys too. I was like, oh yeah, this is up their alley.
Is it a can? Is it a mix?
It comes in like a bottle, like a plastic bottle. And like you order it in packs of four and they ship it like in this frozen box. It's amazing. It's definitely pricey, but it's yummy.
Rachel's. Okay.
Yeah.
On the list.
Check it out.
Okay. On top of what you're drinking today.
Okay. So I am drinking today. Britt actually mixed it up for me. I brought over a bunch of new flavors from Better Days. Have you tried them yet?
Mm-mm.
They're the mixed drinks. Okay. So I'm showing just these packets. It's just like those skinny packets that you get. And you can dump them right into your water bottle or into your like Stanley or whatever. Mine is called Better Hormones today.
Mm.
And it's watermelon coconut. So they came out with all these new flavors. And I was like, I got to give these a try. So I tried the watermelon coconut and Britt and I were both like, this is delicious.
Yeah. Very refreshing. We like it mixed with a lot of water. That's kind of our tip for these types of drinks.
This is what we always tell people is
dilute them.
We do like one pouch per Stanley, which is 40 ounces less if you have ice in there, right? But like, I couldn't do one pouch for like a water, like a 16 ounce water bottle. It would be too sweet for me.
Yeah.
And they're not sweet. I mean, it's stevia sweetened and stuff like that. But anyways, that's our pro tip, our hack.
Yeah. Okay. So awesome.
And you're drinking that too.
Yeah. Yes, we've got our drinks and we are ready to chat. So we covered the IG handle, totally makes sense. And I actually think a lot of people do that. Like it makes them searchable by their name, which is kind of nice to also know the people's names that you're talking to. So I really like that. Jess is launching a new program and this program just sounded so amazing. I mean, you mentioned it a little bit in the beginning, but can you talk a little bit more about this program you have coming up?
Yeah. So I have found that like my sweet spot for helping women and where women honestly feel the most lost after going through some form of betrayal or having a partner come out is right after like you get this emotionally heavy low. There is like a heaviness that comes with any betrayal. And it takes some time to work through that. And as you are coming out of that, it's like, okay, what the heck do I do now? So I am right there with the what now of helping you figure out what now after betrayal to be boldly you. And that's something that I'm also very passionate about, is showing up as yourself. And oftentimes I used to say, my husband's helped me change this. I used to say like, reclaim yourself again, or trust your gut again. And my husband pointed out, he's like, a lot of women don't feel like they have ever, a lot of people in general feel like they've ever been able to trust their gut or ever be boldly themselves. And so I have eliminated that, because I think that's very true, that we often get stuck in again, like, I don't even know what that feels like to begin with. So I help you find the way to trust your gut again, to understand what it is you want moving forward, whether you stay in the relationship or not, however that looks for you. We are going to help you figure out the what now so you can be boldly you. And I am so excited about it.
Yeah. Just so you know, Jess, I'm just taking notes.
Yeah.
I'm not ignoring you.
I know how this goes.
I'm taking notes. You're saying all the good things.
Okay. So Jess, can you give us an example, or like some examples? Obviously, we're not asking you to use people's names or personal private information, but like some examples of the type of situations or the types of betrayal we're talking about?
Yeah. So betrayal can look like so many things in a relationship, and it can feel different for everybody. Like, it's not going to be the same. Some of the things that could make you feel like you have been betrayed is you're not made a priority, or there's not being time, like they're not there for you when you need them. Not keeping commitments, keeping secrets, lying about things, throwing you under the bus in front of people, like saying things that are humiliating and that are degrading in front of other people. There's also, of course, the typical betrayal that we often think about as infidelity or emotional infidelity. And those can look different depending on your relationship, depending on what your boundaries are around your relationship. And so those are some of the things that can lead to feelings of betrayal. And it's interesting because for a really long time, it probably until like the last year or two, I've never actually been able to say that I have been through betrayal. And I 100% have. I experienced it over and over again in my relationship with Steve, first with pornography, because that wasn't something we wanted in our relationship. That was a boundary we had. And that was an ongoing issue for him. And then he would lie to me about things and cover things that he did on work trips that weren't like, you know, he wasn't having an affair or anything. He wasn't even having an emotional affair, but we're, again, outside of the boundaries of what we deemed appropriate for our relationship. Now, I think I justified it as not being betrayal to myself, because he did always come around and tell me about it. He was eventually honest with me. He was like, I could get him to tell me enough. I wasn't one that like wanted every detail, because I knew that was going to damage my own emotional health. But I could get him to tell me enough that I knew what was going on. And so it's so crazy to me. And then he had an affair. It's crazy to me that I've never been able to say out loud that was betrayal, that I experienced betrayal. And yes, it's all of these same thoughts and feelings that people have, like, as you go through that. And so those are some things that it could look like, that it looked like for me. I also talk about the fact that going into my second marriage, and I categorize this more as like the trauma side of things, Matt, my husband, had a really hard time when we got married. He had been through crazy betrayal in his first marriage. And it was like, as soon as we got married, he like went back to survival mode of what he felt like in his first marriage. And it hurt me a ton. And so there's a lot of things I've had to repair in my second marriage that feel like betrayal again. And to me, like the term for that one felt more like trauma of, now I am repairing this trauma that I was put through because he's processing his crap and putting that on me. So sometimes it's hard to say like, oh yeah, I've been through betrayal. Partially because one, we weren't like, maybe the person was honest with us. Like Steve was honest with me about the things he was doing, but it still was betrayal. Like it still hurt. It still was heavy and like sent me down into those heavy lows. And secondly, the other thing that I've really realized with both Matt and Steve, the reason I haven't been able to say out loud, and honestly, this is the first time I've like talked about this openly on a podcast or anywhere, not even our podcast yet, is because I've realized I was protecting them. I already knew they both carried the shame and the guilt for the things that happened to me because of their actions. And of course, I have done things to them that have hurt as well. Like, I don't want to negate that. But I didn't want to hurt them anymore. And so I've never labeled it as betrayal or as trauma or any of those things until recently. And I think that's kind of because I've realized like, oh, we are all okay. We are okay. And this is, it's okay for me to own what I've been through. And so, and a reminder in this, like I am 9.5 years into my second marriage. It's taken me this long to even put these words on this. So I know that this is like a process. It comes in little bits. And while I have healed so many things, I necessarily never needed to label this, but it has been healing to even just say out loud, yeah, this is what it is. So yeah, betrayal can look and feel a lot of ways. It's different for each individual person. And sometimes we don't want to label it because we are trying to protect somebody we love and care about.
Okay. So this is so interesting. And I think it's such an important aspect of the betrayal, because the hurt, I think we can pinpoint that more easily, right? We can feel it in our body. We know the emotions that are going with it, right? We have a tummy ache, we have a heartache, whatever it is. But how did you come to the perception that you were protecting them also from the shame and guilt?
I mean, this is something I know I've done for years, is protect them. And we have a tendency to do that, especially with a romantic partner. We don't want anybody else to think bad of them. We know that sometimes this is just, you know, we go through things in relationships, in marriage, like we go through hard things. And sometimes when we share that with the other people, we heal, but the other person can't move on from that. They're still like stuck. Like I think of like moms, like our moms, when we share something that happens with our partner, they have a hard time not just being protective all the time because it's a mom. Like they're here to protect us, or our dads, you know, anybody that's close to us. And so I think for me, like labeling it was just a hard, like it was that hard next step. And I think that's often why we don't label it, is because we don't want somebody else to label it that way. We also don't want to hurt our partner because we care about them or love them. We might be afraid. Some women are afraid. I've never been in that position. I'm very grateful that that hasn't been my lived reality, but some women might be afraid that if they do label it, or if they do speak up about, hey, I'm going through betrayal or something like that, that they might be in harm's way. So I think there's different reasons for each of us that we try to mask that we don't want to admit it. And often it might feel like failure. Like we have failed. I talk a lot about perfect wife syndrome through this program and in my messaging, because I basically every woman that I've worked with, they feel like if I just show up better, if I show up in the way I think my partner wants me to show up, it'll fix it and it'll be okay. And we get stuck in this. And when it doesn't work, then we feel like the failure. When it doesn't change their behavior, it feels like we failed. So those are like the tips of all of these things that it could be.
Yeah, I want to point out, I think something really interesting that you're saying that's worth noting is you're saying I've been through betrayal, as opposed to labeling yourself or making yourself a victim, right? Like it's something you've been through. It kind of keeps you in this empowered position. Mm-hmm. And I like you wording it that way, because I think that's another reason maybe sometimes people are, it could go one of two ways. Either they wallow in being a victim of something, or they don't even want to say it because they don't want to take the victim role. And yet it's okay to find this hybrid where you're like, hey, this is something I've experienced, but it doesn't define me, right?
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. And then you're saying, okay, so if you're able to admit this to yourself, I think one of the other reasons, and I'm guessing here, you're the expert, is that once they admit to themselves, like, you know what, I have been betrayed, and it's like, ouch. And then they recognize that maybe they're protecting and all of those other things that come with it. And then they get to, okay, so now what? Mm-hmm. Now, if I admit this to myself, crap, like I'm going to have to do something about it.
Yeah.
And then they come to you. Yeah. Isn't that what keeps us from acting in so many ways?
Yes.
Of if I admit this, if I say this out loud, I have to deal with the, like, I know there's an action I need to take after that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Instead of like the plugging your ears and like, la, 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 let's just keep waking up every day and eating breakfast and going through the motions and not actually, like facing the music, which is, it's not easy to do. And I think, so like we were thinking of, obviously, like you said, there's the big examples of like infidelity, people having affairs, things like that. Then there's also the little examples of like, which I don't want to say are little. I'm going to call it little because we don't.
It's very minuscule.
This is not a big deal at all. But like where, you know, Cassandra and I were kind of joking, but it's not funny at all.
Yeah.
But sometimes in our relationship where like, say with money, where, you know, somebody's the primary money maker and somebody's the primary spender, you know, and how that how that might just feel like a bit of a betrayal when we're being sneaky or we're not giving the full story or we're hiding things, and then the money maker spouse finds out and feels like lied to and cheated, and then they have to make decisions from that place. That might they may be experiencing some level of betrayal and have to make decisions, and like it affects the relationship as a whole because there is some trust that's being harmed,
manipulated. I think it can be these small things like shopping or with your kids or
making decisions that are kind of. And look, most people in their marriages or in their like childhood growing up had the parent that was the more lax one and the one that was the more, you knew who to ask for the sleepover or whatever. Right. But then at what point, you know, kids are pros at playing that game and suddenly there's a good guy and a bad guy.
Right.
And then before you know it, it can cause a strain on the marriage because, you know, we're now not standing as a team united. Now it's this good cop, bad cop situation. So,
you're saying that goes back to the betrayal between like, hey, as a couple, we kind of decided we were going to raise our kids like this. As a couple, we decided we weren't going to hide Target bags in our closets. You know, as a couple, we decided we were going to stay safe for college.
Yeah.
And then, but you're kind of not living up to it.
Yeah. Like, wait, I thought we decided, I thought we had that big talk and we sat down and we made parameters.
There's
and
a then, spreadsheet and the whole hoopla.
And then all of a sudden these purchases were made or these decisions were made for the kids that like, aren't at all what we discussed. Like what happened? Were you just hoping I wouldn't find out about it? And of course, like this is a much smaller scale, but it still is this, it taps into like the feeling of not trusting and not, you know.
Well, and I think like these things add up.
Yeah.
And I work with women all the time and they're like, I know this sounds silly because it's such a little thing. And I'm like, no, no, no. This is because you have been through this situation over and over and over again. And you have been told you are too sensitive or you are too whatever on top of that, because they want to keep doing this behavior and making it your fault.
And that's so we've been like that. We've been the ones being like, okay, well, guess what? I'm the one that's
has to bring the present. Like I'm in charge of it. And I had to get one for myself too. That's the sign of a good gift is if you buy two.
It's true.
But see, this is the thing. So then there's this emotion of anger that I think can often accompany like the shock of
a betrayal,
on from small to huge. And when you're in that place of anger, which I'm sure you've seen a lot in the work you do, like, is that the time to make decisions? Like, tell us a little bit about that and the processing of the big emotions.
Yes. So I firmly believe processing of big emotions, while I think it's good to have a sounding board, somebody that you can, if you feel like you want to, throw the big emotions at. So probably not the person that they're that they're geared towards. But when you are in the thick of the big emotions, you're going to say things to this, to the person, to the betrayer, I'm going to call him, just to keep it clear. But, and it's okay. Like, we're all going to do it. And so just own that afterwards. Say, hey, maybe this wasn't the best time for me to voice things that I'm feeling. And I apologize. I have found the more I own my emotions from the betrayal, the easier it is for them to talk to me again about ways that they're betraying me. So if I could not throw the anger and the guilt and the shame at Steve when he would come to me with something, he was then more likely to come tell me other things because he knew I wasn't just going to freak out. Now, this takes a lot of work to get to that point. I understand that. And so like I started saying, if you have somebody that can listen without telling you what you need to do, without carrying these feelings of, you know, being pissed for you towards, you know, the betrayer, if you have somebody like it that in your life, 100%, you can call them and express those. Journaling is great for this. Like, that is a really great place to just let it all out. Or to even, like, I remember just going and creating my own space to just bawl, like just go sob and let it out in my car. And sometimes there may have been yelling, I don't remember, but just letting those feelings out in somewhere that feels safe to you. And creates as much talking room as you can, like leaves the door open to be able to still talk to the person if you want to keep a relationship with them. If you don't, I don't know. I don't know that I suggest yelling at them, but finding a place to put your anger that you can actually keep it, keep a healthy relationship with the other person should you want to, I think is a big deal. Because if you do want them, again, to share with you what's going on, the best place you can, the best thing you can do is create a safe space for them to do that, which again is hard, but it serves you. I mean, like, if you can remember, okay, I'm feeling all this rage come up, and you could say that in the moment, say, hey, I am feeling very angry. I need to take a bit. And we can come back to this. Like, I do want to talk to you. I want to have this conversation. I don't want to have it feeling the way I'm feeling right now. It's not going to help either of us. And go let yourself have that space. I encourage people, like I said, go for a drive, go for a walk, go sometimes if you can check yourself into a hotel for a night so that you can have your own space to just feel through your emotions. There's a lot of power in that, in just feeling through that. I never, ever want people to suppress them. Like, you have to feel it to be able to move forward. You have to know how angry and pissed you are to know what you want and to know what feels right for you. And if you just keep suppressing it, you can't trust what you're telling yourself. So you can't trust what you're feeling if you won't let yourself feel. And if you don't trust what you're feeling, you can never take action, like action that feels right to you. And so, yes, there's an art to figuring out how to navigate that anger. And if you have already let the rage fly and the anger fly, don't beat yourself up about it. Like, there are ways to repair that. There are ways to come back from that. I always say, well, my dad used to always tell me, you don't regret the things you did. You did the best you could in the moment, with the knowledge you had. And so you're just going to embrace that and you're going to learn from it and move forward. And I've always really liked that. And that's something I encourage people too, is like, we're not judging ourselves here. We made a mistake. We're going to own that. We're going to recognize that. And then we're going to move forward. So hopefully that helps. It is a hard thing to navigate.
And so when you're able to kind of process the anger by like allowing it, and then you kind of move into whatever, because we always hear how anger is kind of a secondary emotion. So there's always something below it, right?
Yes.
And move into that phase. And then like, how far do we go in the processing of emotions and such before we start making decisions? Like, what do you recommend? Do you want people to get to like a peaceful place? Like, do you want people, how should we be feeling when we start making the big decisions?
So I feel like when you are going through betrayal, especially at like the most extreme, decisions have to start being made before you hit the peace and calm. Okay. I don't think the peace and calm comes It does sometimes, but often it doesn't come until you start making action. Mm-hmm. And so that's a tricky one too, because usually you can work through your feelings and kind of then come back in a peace and calm state and be able to work through it. You're still going to have a lot of emotion attached to this. Working through betrayal is a mourning process, and there are going to be moments of grief and mourning that come up, and things that you never knew you needed to mourn, no matter what. And I think of like Matt and I, when we first got married, I had to grieve and mourn the relationship I thought I was going to get with Matt from day one, because I didn't get that. And he has admitted now, like, that he actively was withholding that because he was like, I'm already a failure. I've failed at every relationship before, of course, because otherwise we wouldn't be in a relationship. But this is the message he's telling himself. I may as well just hurry and end this one. I may as well hurry and get it done. So subconsciously, he is doing crap that's like, he knows is damaging. And that's not who he is. I knew that wasn't who he was. But I knew I wanted to stay. Like, after I let myself really grieve, and I would say there was like a solid year that I grieved that things couldn't be how I thought they were going to be. And then I chose to heal. And as I chose to heal, I allowed myself to mourn different things that I thought I needed in the relationship that I realized where I was okay. That I realized, okay, if I'm staying, I have to think of this a different way. It's the whole, you know, how we do in coaching. It's the new thought that I am going to put here. And one of these specifically, I'm going to give you a quick example, is as soon as we got married, Matt stopped telling me he loved me. And to this day, he still does not tell me he loves me. He will, I bet I could count on my hand how many times he tells me that he loves me throughout a year. And I was sure that there was no way I could be in a relationship where somebody wasn't telling me they loved me. And I didn't need, like, every time we got off a phone call and every time we went to bed. Like, I really didn't need that. I just wanted to hear the words, I love you, because things were a mess. And that at least felt connective to me in the mess. And so when I actually left Matt for like a weekend and then came back and like, but when I came back, that was one of the things I really focused on changing how I thought about it, because at that point I was equating Matt saying the words, I love you, to actually feeling his love. I'm like, that doesn't tell me anything. People say they love you all the time and their actions are very different. And so I made a conscious decision to focus on the things. Every time I was feeling this pain and mourning the fact he couldn't tell me he loved me and grieving it, because I did, I reminded myself of like five ways that Matt has shown me he loved me recently. And they are there. Like, the man loves me. Like, I know that. And as I was able to heal that part of me as well and change that thinking and mourn through that process, it helped Matt. Like, he was able to see, okay, I'm not killing this woman. I am not like crushing her anymore. She's thriving. Maybe I can thrive too. In that process, though, we mourn, we grieve. And so this will keep happening. And there will things that you go through that you will mourn and grieve. And that's okay. That's part of the process. But you can like feel moments of peace in between those. And so that's what I always say. I'm like, you're going to hit this place and you're going to feel like, I feel so good. I haven't felt this for so long. And it's going to be intense and it's going to be great. And then the next week, you're probably going to be like, oh, crap. Like, I have to mourn this thing about the relationship, whether you stay or go. And I'm going to acknowledge that. I'm going to feel that. I'm going to work through and feel those feelings. And then I'm going to decide what I need to do moving forward.
I love that in that situation, you realize that ultimately you don't have power over the other person, right? And again, like, it's not a mandate that you stay and you make it work and you change yourself. But like, whether you decide to stay with the person or not, the only person you're going to have control or power over is you. And how do you want to feel in this relationship? What do you want to be experiencing? All of that really is in your hands, which is such great news. And so thank you so much for sharing all of that, Jess. I think it like really helps to hear some real experiences and actual situations because it makes it super relatable. And I think that the work that you're doing is just like we said before, just like so needed. And so many people deal with it. They don't even want to acknowledge it because it's like embarrassing, and we all want to uphold this, everything's fine, you know, and it is fine. And then sometimes it's not fine.
Yeah.
And so that's okay. And there's help and there are things to do. And one of the things we both said that we love so much about your work is when we're going through something hard, sometimes we look outside of us for like, what should I do? And where do I turn? And what's the next right thing? And you are there to capture those people, but you're not going to tell them what to do. You're there to help them tap into their own inner knowing and like what they're to trust themselves and to know for themselves what the right thing to do is. And that's who you want in your corner when you're going through something hard. You know, there's not a prescriptive method for every person, a one size fits all. And we really do have to come back to ourselves. And so that's what your work helps with. So tell us about where they can sign up for your next program and like what they can expect from that.
Yeah. So coming up, I have a free workshop that is all about figuring out the what now past betrayal. And it's going to give you 3 tips of how to be boldly yourself after betrayal, trust your gut again, and to kind of help you work through those things, how to get in tune with you, because you're exactly right. That almost made me like get teary and want to cry when you said that, because that is what I want. Like, I don't want you to look at me and say, oh, I need to do it like Jessica, or, oh, I need to do it like this other person. I want you to know what is right for you. And there is so much power in that. So yes, I have a workshop coming up. It's, you guys are like going to be the first people that are going to actually announce this. And that's so exciting. So it's February 22nd. Again, that is free. And then after that, I will be fully launching the rest of the program. But if you are in the midst of the heavy and are like, I need this little star, I need a little light to help me get out of here, it's there. We're here for you. You're not alone. We can help you get there. And it's in you. Like, it really is in you. One of the things you just said, Brittany, was that like, we're the ones that change. And I always like, don't think of it that way. I'm like, no, you're not changing. You are becoming you. Like, you are embracing who you really are. You're getting so in tune with your values and understanding those values that you understand your life doesn't have to look one way. It can still be in tune with who you are and your values. You're just thinking about it differently. And it's, I know that sounds woo-woo, but it's so powerful. And I know you guys get that, but there's so much power in just changing that thinking. So yeah. And I'm on Instagram. I'm on our podcast, Husband in Law. You can find me all of those places. I will be there.
Yeah. So if you want to get in on this, you go to her profile in Instagram and you can tap on the link there, and there's a pop-up, right? They can click there, and that's where they go sign up. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's at theboldlogic.com/ what now workshop.
Awesome.
What a great name. What now? You're a pro at the names.
Seriously. Bravo.
Well, thank you.
We're so happy we got to talk to you, and we're so excited about the new program.
Thanks, ladies. Thank you.
Great to see you, Jess. Have a good rest of your day. Okay, everybody, be well.
Be well.